classes.
Thanks. So thank you to organize for the invitation to this fantastic place. And I also want to thank Leticia for the very nice introduction tutorial of this morning. So essentially, she explained what is the, well, the our idea of what is the output of our equilibrium dynamics in field spin glass. And this should explain why the result we got in the last couple of years were unexpected, because they don't fit completely into that picture. So I will tell you about essentially two models, two mean field spin glass models. One is a spherical mixed p-spin model, exactly the one that Tuca defined and discussed in his talk. In this model, we are going to start from a thermalized configuration at finite temperature, so not a random one. And then we make a zero temporal relaxation. So really, we are going down in the energy landscape, no temperature at all. And in this case, we can compare analytical solution obtaining the thermodynamic limit and also some Monte Carlo simulation for small sizes. The results were unexpected, and so we tried to run a Monte Carlo simulation to get convinced that it was really the actual behavior of physical systems. And the second model that actually I will just show you a couple of slides at the very end of the talk is the Vienna Bray model, so a spin glass on a random regular graph. In this case, we start from a real random configuration, and we run Glauber dynamics at finite temporal, but in the glassy phase, and we succeed in with really huge unseen before Monte Carlo simulation to understand something about the large time behavior. And okay, so essentially 90% of the talk will be based on the work of Gianpaolo Folena, who is doing a PhD thesis in collaboration with me and Silvio France, while this work has been done in collaboration. Well, essentially everything started because Alain Biluard saw something unclear in the SK model, and then we decided to run this model, which is a sparse model on GPU, and Massimo Bernaschi is a really world-leading in GPU programming on this model. Okay, so I tell you immediately what is the unexpected result. So essentially, and then I will try to convince you that we have enough evidence for this. So essentially, for the spherical mixed p-spin model, we have a zero temporal dynamics that goes below the threshold energy. This is the first very unexpected. So I will tell you what is the threshold energy for, but for who already knows what is the threshold energy, essentially was defined by Leticia this morning, by zero temporal dynamics, we go below. This was unexpected.
Below by amount over n?
Everything is in intensive. So order one in intensive energy, order n in extensive energy, okay? And moreover, we keep a positive non-zero correlation with the initial configuration. So essentially, the system don't forget the initial configuration. And moreover, unfortunately, the complexity gives only a qualitative explanation of the asymptotic dynamics. We are no longer able to do the very nice connection between static and dynamics. So it seems that we are not able to predict the long-time dynamics only doing static computation. The other model, which is a model with a continuous phase transition, the dynamics that start from a random configuration don't decorrelate from the initial configuration. So again, the main message is that maybe one of the assumptions that we have been using in the last 25 years since the work of Leticia and Jorge, which is weaker Godesi breaking, maybe should be replaced by a stronger assumption. But okay, this is something I would like to discuss with you eventually, even during this program. So let me define the models that I will study. This has been already well defined during the talk yesterday. So these are fully connected spherical mixed p-spin model. So essentially, continuous variable, real variables with a spherical constraint interacting pupils. And if more than one of these coefficients is different from zero, you have a mixed p-spin model. Coupling scales as an inverse power of n, so it's a weak coupling model. And the model essentially is defined by this function f, which is the covariance of the Hamiltonian. And I will study two models, pure model, pure three-spin model, and mixed model, 3 plus 4. Okay, so these are the two models This model admits an analytic solution, while the other model that we study is much better for numerical simulation. So these are an easy pairwise interacting model, easy in variables. Couplings are uniformly random in between minus one and one. And we study the model defined on a random regular graph. E is the edge set of a random regular graph. Okay. This because this model can be simulated. So, but this SK-like. We expect for this model to have the same out of equilibrium dynamics of the Sherrington-Kirkpatrick model. So it's much better to simulate, but we expect to have the same physics. Okay. What is interesting is that the two models belong to completely different university classes. So the spherical p-spin model has a random first order transition, so a discontinuous transition, while the Vienna Bray model is SK-like, has a continuous phase transition. But both show this unexpected behavior that they don't forget the initial configuration, or the configuration they have, they achieve at very short times. So the fact that the same behavior is seen in two completely different models led me think that it's generic behavior that we should take care of. Okay, so let me start discussing the spherical mixed p-spin model. For this model, we can do something analytically. So this is a very lucky case, because we know that if you write the Langevin dynamics for the real variable sigma, this has been already explained. So this is the derivative of the Hamiltonian, the Lagrangian multiplier imposing the spherical constraint. Then you have the noise coming from the contact with the thermal butt, and eventually you put an external field if you want to measure the linear response. So this is a small field they use only for the linear response. And for this model, we can write exactly the dynamics. And be careful, because now we take the initial condition according to this Gibbs-Boltzmann-like distribution. So T prime will be always be the temperature at which the system is thermalized at the beginning of the out of equilibrium dynamics. Yes, I will take it high. And if you take first the large n limit, so we are talking about large time dynamics of a system where we first take the large n limit, you can write everything in terms of correlation function, response function. And you can write down a closed set of equations for correlation responses. And this has been proved even rigorously that these are the right equation for this kind of system, which is a weak coupling model. So admit this kind of closure. And so the question is, what to do with this equation? So we have to solve this equation. As you see, our integral differential equation, not easy to solve. But let me do a couple of remarks. The first remark is the role of the temperature where you run the dynamics. The dependence on temperature is very smooth, you see? And you can actually take a low temperature or even zero temperature, and you don't expect any problem in the zero temperature limit. This was already realized in the very first paper by Leticia Jorge. And so we will work directly at zero temperature. So, but we expect that that behavior is very similar to what happened at very low temperature, okay?
We can also take T prime to infinity and start it. Does that change much also?
That is the second point. So now the initial the role of the initial condition. You see, in this equation, T prime enters only in these two terms, okay? So if you take T prime equal to infinity, you are starting from a random configuration, and these two terms are absent, okay? And these are the equation that's been mostly solved. Until now, we mostly work with random initial condition. While if T prime is different from infinity, these two terms are present, but the main difference in the large time behavior now depends whether the correlation with the initial configuration remains different from zero or goes to zero. So if you forget the initial condition, then the equation reduces to the one of infinite temperature. So a very long time, say eventually you recover the same aging solution of an initial random condition. But if you don't forget the initial condition, then you may expect a new behavior, okay? So this is the main message about the role of the two temperatures. So, as I said, this solving in general this equation is very difficult, both analytically and numerically, but luckily enough, Jorge and Leticia found a solution now 25 years ago. So it's very well studied, this solution, and this aging solution has some key feature that I want to remind you. Leticia already talked about it this morning, but let me say that essentially there is a memory term that is long but is weak. So in general, it allows weak long-term memory means that everything that happened in a initial finite time does not affect the very long time behavior. Okay, so if you integrate over any finite time and then you send the second time to infinity, the first part of the integral can be ignored. And so when you have to solve this kind of integrals that run from zero to t, you can forget in that integral any part until a finite time. Okay, this is crucial in order to disentangle the initial part of the dynamics to the large time one. Okay, so this is a very important feature. The other one is an assumption that is called weak ergodicity breaking. So this model is aging because there is ergodicity breaking. It's not visiting the entire phase space, but the ergodicity breaking is weak, so it does not really constrain the system in a finite part, which means that for any time t prime, if you send the later time to infinity, the correlation goes to zero. Okay, and this seems the assumption that is not valid in our model.
You think it's actually that
truth? No, this usually is an assumption. So when you want to close the equation, there is a solution, which is I call the Kuliandro-Kurchan solution, or Kuliandro-Kurchan ansatz, that has this feature. So if you assume this feature, then you can take the previous equation and write and close them in a few parameters that describe the long time dynamics. Okay, and among the other important features is that, okay, the plateau in the correlation function solves this equation, which is called the marginal condition. The energy relaxes to the threshold energy, and for values of the correlation below this value of the plateau, the response and the correlation are related in a modified fluctuation dissipation, where x is essentially a fixed number smaller than one for one RSB models. So all this was very, very nice. Why? Not only because we have a solution to this very complicated equation, but especially because we can make a strong connection between static and dynamics. Essentially, if you compute the free energy as a function of tempo of all the TAP states, you can draw here this nice plot, and you can do all this by just looking at the Gibbs measure. You know anything about the dynamics. Then you solve the dynamics within the Kuliandro-Kurchan ansatz, and you realize that the quench at a temperature below the dynamical temperature always go to the threshold states. And the system responds with an x, which is exactly the one that you can compute by computing the complexity as a function of the energy. I'm plotting this at zero temperature. And the slope of the complexity here is related to the response of the system in the out of equilibrium regime. So you see, it looks really as a fantastic connection. So you don't have to solve the dynamics. You study the Gibbs measure in the 1RSB ansatz, and you understand a lot of things about the long time limit of the dynamics. Fantastic. Unfortunately, when you move to the mixed model, there is chaos in temporal that makes things much more tricky. And as I will show you, indeed, the picture is no longer so simple. Okay? So what happens when we take not infinite temporal, but finite temporal? Can we say something? Well, in general, from the point of view of the dynamics, we like to compute some parameter, like the correlation with the initial configuration. And taking both time to infinity with a fixed ratio lambda, which means going the aging regime, we like to compute the two values of the overlap, Q0 and Q1, where the aging is taking place. Okay, so, and then eventually the fluctuation dissipation ratio. So these dynamical parameters, you can prove, actually, there is a paper by Barra, France, Paris in 1997, where they show that the same equation for this dynamical parameter can be obtained from this Franz Parisi potential, which is nothing but the cost in free energy of taking a first replica sigma at temperature T prime, a second replica tau at temperature T, such that the overlap is exactly P, and then you compute the free energy cost of keeping these two replicas at an overlap which is not the typical one, is atypical, okay? You compute this, which depends on the overlap and the temperature T and the temperature T prime, and if you compute the saddle point values of the parameter of the 1RSB solution that you plug into the potential in order to solve it, you find that the equation are the same. So this means that this again is a strong static dynamic connection, but there is a problem.
Is it valid only for one step RSB
or? Yes, for because it's, yes, for one step. Actually, no. In principle, all the dynamic solution Coulihan-Dolokurchan, it can be mapped to the static solution. Okay, but for the Franz Parisi potential, this has been done only at the 1RSB level. So there is a problem that actually it popped out clearly after a recent work by Lenka, Florin, Leuzzi, Crisanti, and Sun, that if you compute now the fixed point, the secondary minimum, well, the point satisfying this set of equation in the Franz Parisi potential, so the candidate for the large time dynamics, you can have two solutions, one solution with p equals zero and one solution with p larger than zero. This one, you require t prime to be smaller than td. So this already say that if you start from a random, from a configuration thermalized at temperature t prime larger than td, you have only one solution, the one where the initial condition is forgotten, okay? So any starting configuration above td should forget the initial condition, okay? However, this picture has a problem. Forget about the RSB phase. We don't care about, at the moment, I'm only interested in understanding whether you remember the initial condition or you forget the initial condition. If you start from, and there is one more important point. When you compute the energy that the dynamics, sorry, the energy of the states that corresponds to this fixed point, to this solution, to this solution, this one are always an energy which is smaller than this, okay? And it's written here. So what happened? According to this picture, based on the Franz Parisi potential, if you start from this solution, which has an energy smaller than the threshold energy, and you decrease the temperature, you enter in a regime where the energy is equal to the threshold energy. So you are decreasing the temperature and the energy is increasing. No, it cannot be so. So after this work, I said, okay, something weird should happen here. And so what I did a couple of years ago when visiting Silvio, we simply studied the dynamics and say, okay, I start the dynamics from this point at TD, I do a quench, and where do I go? I go to the solution with P equal to zero and the energy equal to the threshold energy? No, I go somewhere else where the energy is lower than the threshold energy. And now by continuity, I say, okay, but then I can start even slightly above TD because everything is continuous in the equation. And indeed, what we find is that even starting above TD, you go below the threshold. And this is the main surprise that we got. So this, the energy as a function of time.
Why is it such a surprise? Well, if you start above TD, you still have metastable states whose bottom is below TD and who extend above TD.
Ah, it's a surprise because, to the best of my knowledge, the only solution to the equation for CNR is the one based on the Coulihan-Dolokurchan answers. And that solution corresponds to the saddle point solution of the Franz Parisi potential. And in all this region, the only solution I know is the one with P equal to zero, is the one with energy equal to the threshold energy. So according to this picture, which has some inconsistency, but before realizing the inconsistency, this picture is telling me everything, if you start above TD, you must go to threshold energy of energy E threshold, okay? And which is also reasonable, we are starting very high in energy. If there is some marginal manifold which is attracting the dynamics coming from higher energy, if I start from energy 0 or minus 0.1 or minus 0.2, but well above the threshold energy, it's reasonable that you land on the marginal manifold.
So how is this continuous line?
Which discontinuous line? This one, this one essentially is the spinodal, so it's the point where the secondary minimum of the Parisi potential disappear. So if you start with a certain T prime, then you decrease T, and at a certain point you lose it. You decrease T in this way, certain point you lose it.
So it's like first order
transition. It's a first order transition, yes. Okay, so this is the surprise. Indeed, one more reason for being a surprise is that if you're doing the pure model, it's never going below. Look, so these are different starting temperature. Tau is simply the some parameter telling you how much in percentage you are above TD. And if you do the same experiment in the pure three-spin model, you always relax to the threshold energy, independently on the initial temperature. Yes. Yeah, I can define in two ways. Dynamically is the energy reached by a quench from infinite temperature, and statically I will show you is the largest energy where you do have marginally stable states. Is the upper bound of the energy region where you do have minima, okay?
So why can it only go to times of 2000?
That's a good point. Here we do some extrapolation, but as you see, we are already below the threshold, so I don't need to do any extrapolation. Luckily enough, I don't have to do extrapolation because I cannot go too far, because actually what we discover, I steal this picture from the recent paper by Giulio, Chiara, Flora, and Stefano, Florian and Lenka, and Pier Francesco. Essentially, when we integrate with a fixed time step, in the past, this kind of equation has been integrated with a variable time step. So essentially, in the plane TT prime, you integrate in a region, and then what you do, you sparsify the point and you integrate with a larger delta T, keeping track of all the integrals. The problem is that when we do this procedure, the same code that works for the pure p-spin model, for the mixed p-spin model, produces a numerical instability along the diagonal. So we are not able to integrate over very long times, and we decide to stick to a fixed time step. So the integration is pretty short, but if you don't solve this numerical problem, we are not able to integrate to 1 million. No, sorry, then we take the limit delta t going to zero. So this one is really the solution in the delta t going to zero limit. So I integrate with different delta t fixed, and then I send it to zero. So this...
Does it convert nicely?
It converts quadratically. So it converts very nicely. No, this is not a problem. So if I have to do some extrapolation, then it can be a problem. But on this time scale, it's not a problem. Okay, so the energy is going below the threshold. So clearly, we don't have the standard solution. We have to search for a new solution of this equation. And so the first thing that comes to our mind is how it looks the correlation with the initial condition. And you see, it's not easy, but you should observe that these again are quenches from different temperature. In the pure model, all curves are really very well parallel. So what happens is that if you quench from a lower temperature, you just have to wait a little bit more, but then you relax with the same power law. While in the mixed model, where this strange behavior is happening, you clearly see that the slope is changing. It's becoming slower in a double logarithmic scale.
Mixed model, this three plus four has both the 4 RSP and the What are the Eugene-Defendinov ratio?
This particular 3 plus 4 has a static solution which is still 1 RSB. But nevertheless, it's chaotic, for example. So it's much more similar to easing this pin. Okay? If you replot the correlation in a nice scale where you can try to do extrapolation to infinite time, you realize that, for example, these are the extrapolation for tau 10 to the minus 2 and 10 to the minus 1, so pretty close to the 2TD, and you see that this is compatible with going to zero. While if you try to do the same in the 3 plus 4 spin, clearly it's becoming much, much slower. I don't want to claim anything about extrapolation, but my feeling is that it's not going to zero. Moreover, it cannot go to zero, because if it goes to zero, you have to come back to the threshold energy, but we are already below the threshold energy. So we must go to something which is different from zero. And so the simplest explanation is that we are not forgetting the initial condition, and the system is doing some kind of restricted aging, okay? So let's go to the fluctuation dissipation plot, which is one of the most informative plots in this case. And in this plot, I'm putting the pure model above and the mixed model below at two different initial temperature. This, again, is a zero temporal quench. So this horizontal line is the equivalent of QEA, rescaled, because we are plotting this quantity here, okay? And so chi star is the response within one state. And this slope has been computed from the zero temporal limit of the x parameter, and the one computed with the unconstrained complexity, so the standard one, okay? So if you look at the FD plot, this part is following the standard prediction, okay? So it's very strange because, look, this is the pure model that we know that works as expected. So in the large time limit, it must be along this line. And this is the mixed model where we know that P and also Q naught cannot go to zero because we are already under the threshold energy. But nevertheless, this quantity follow nicely the prediction of the standard prediction, let me say, okay? So what is our conclusion from this plot? That more or less the dynamical parameter X is the one that you predict with the standard picture between 1 and Q naught, and then it's 0 between Q naught and P. But P and Q naught cannot go to 0, okay? Yes. Yes.
So you're calling it a function of time to the minus a third. But is that an analytic result or?
No, is the power that is valid if you do a quench from infinite temperature.
Is that an analytic result? That's just a
No. You expect a power, and that is the. So, for example, for the pure model, you can fit pretty well. For the pure model, you can integrate the equation with the variable delta t, so you can go to longer times, and so you can see that maybe it's not exactly one third, but it's very close to one third. Is a good power law. So in some sense, you take the power such that the extrapolation from infinite temporal is linear. That's the best you can do. Yes. Yes. The upper one is the pure model, yes. Because we are plotting a fixed t changing t prime. So we get all the part. But then eventually, for the pure model, this point and this point converge to the same one. So asymptotically, you have only this part. Here, since this p is probably stopping somewhere, you get these numbers, which are, so you're doing aging in some confined space. Nevertheless, there is no memory of the initial part because there is zero response to to what happened at the very beginning. But so my hope is that we can still solve the analytical equation. Okay, one can ask whether there is a phase transition in T prime, but let me jump this and let me just go to show you why, in my opinion, the system is blocking under the threshold. What I'm plotting here is the energy of the three-body interaction part and with thick lines, and with thin lines, I'm plotting the energy of the four-body interaction. Again, starting from different temperature. You see that if you start from very high temperature, both the three-body part and the four-body part relax more or less in the same way. But if you start from a lower energy, look at the violet data, which don't go to the threshold energy, they are below the threshold energy, you see that the three-body parts relax more than what it should in order to stay on the threshold. So the three-body part can relax faster. So you can adapt the spins such to satisfy the three-body terms easier than the four-body terms. And so what happened? The four-body terms remain more out of equilibrium than the three-body part. And if the three-body part go too low, then you can recover something, but you don't come back to the threshold. So what is the idea? That there are different degrees of freedom. Some degrees of freedom can be satisfied easier at the beginning than the others. And so in this way, the system blocks some degrees of freedom, and then is no longer able to relax the others and go far away from the initial configuration. And just to be sure, we also run some numerical simulation for finite size system, and with the right finite n correction, but the approach, the solution of the large n limits equation. So, spherical. I really solved the spherical problem with a finite number of spins. And so you see that, you see that essentially if I plot E3 and E4, when I quench from infinite temperature, I go to the threshold states, which are this one, in a way where E3 and E4 play similar roles. While if I start from a already thermalized situation, E3 is always small, it goes too low, and then you don't come back. So in some sense, the fact that the system is heterogeneous is what produces a different path in this plane, and then the system gets blocked here instead of going to the threshold states. Okay, so just last plot, which is a tentative, let me just show this. So what we did, in order to try to explain these dynamical results in terms of complexity, we compute the complexity in the 3+4 model. Since we are doing a zero temporal dynamics, we just compute the minima, local minima, and we wait with the Hessian, okay? Because the zero temporal dynamics gets stuck to local minima. The main difference is that while in the pure model, the mu parameter is the one that determines whether the state is minimum, a saddle, or is marginal. For this model, mu equals 6 is marginal. 6.1 is a minimum, and mu smaller than 6 is a saddle, okay? So at variance with a pure model where all marginal states have the same energy, here no. If you do the computation, the marginal states have a broad distribution. There are marginal states at any energy, okay? So why do you stop at this energy when you do a quench from infinite temperature? Essentially, if you follow the dynamics, you realize that dynamics runs along the most numerous states until they becomes marginal, and you get stuck here, okay, at this energy. But now, if you redo the computation, enforcing the system to be at overlap P from a thermalized configuration, and this plot is done with T prime equal TD, but you can do with T prime equal any other temperature, what you observe is that the relevant part of the complexity, the one corresponding to minima, and you expect to block at the top of the minima, you see it moves down in energy. And so the marginal states have a lower energy if you enforce to be closer to a to the reference configuration. And in particular, this is the energy that we compute from the solution of the dynamical equation. So you see, it's qualitatively correct. I don't want to say it's quantitatively correct, but the change in threshold energy is comparable to the variation of the energy during the dynamics. So this is our best guess for why the system is going to lower energy. Unfortunately, the computation of the complexity predicts too low values for y and q naught, and so it is not satisfactory. This is my possible explanation, and maybe I will decide to stop here. The possible explanation is that starting from the initial condition, the dynamics goes in one of these marginal manifolds, and so if you fix the distance from the initial condition and you compute the location of all these marginal manifolds, you actually do find that they have a lower energy, so you predict correctly the energy, but you fail completely in computing the overlap between two marginal configurations, because the dynamics goes in one of these and get and do aging, restricted aging with a large value of Q naught. But if you do the static computation, you are averaging over them all, and indeed you get a much lower Q naught. So it seems that we have some indication that the static computation can predict something about these dynamics, but I think that we still have a lot of understand about the large time dynamics, even in the simplest model that we have. I thank you for your attention. So
thanks to you. And do we have more questions?
So just to understand better, what is the difference between 3 and 3 plus 4? You said that there is chaos in second series.
Yes.
How it's known? I mean, it's a numerical effect or?
No, that has been proved also rigorously for low energy states, but at any energy value there is chaos. So, so you can prove that essentially if you start from any TAP state, which dominates the measure at a given temperature, and you move slightly in temperature, the new TAP state dominating the measure at that is completely different.
This is the main
orthogonal
difference with the previous case.
That's one of the main differences. I think that's one of the main reasons why you do have this much more complex behavior. Essentially, in the pure model is somehow pathological. I have to admit that we have been working for years on a pathological model, because in the pure model, because of the homogeneity, you can compute everything at zero temperature. 25 years, or not. You can compute everything at zero temperature, and then you just add for each local minimum, you add the thermal contribution. So you build a paraboloid around the minimum. But that's all the story. So, but the relative weights of the states can be perfectly computed from their energy at zero temperature plus this entropic term, which is the same for everybody. So they are all of the same size. And so in some sense, you have the zero temperature picture, geometrical picture, is perfectly conserved in temperature. And so you can do a lot of prediction because of this strong symmetry. In the 3 plus 4 model, it's not like this. States have different entropy, and so when you change the temperature, they cross each other. And so the situation is much more generic. Yeah.
Okay, there was other questions.
So the effect disappears when you take T prime equals infinity, isn't it?
In the piecemeal model, disappears when you take T prime equals infinity.
So in the mixture model,
even in the mixed model. So in even in the mixed model, if you take T prime equal to infinity, you go to threshold states.
But any finite T prime will keep going below the threshold, or there is a critical T prime.
No, I think there is a phase transition. I have an argument because essentially you can write, you can see that even during the dynamics, since you have this, suppose that you take for true that the x is zero here, is y star here, and infinity here. So you take this piecewise constant fluctuation dissipation ratio for true, then you can write the energy in this way. So you can write the energy at a given time as the threshold energy plus some function of pt and q naught of t. So the only thing that you know, need to know is how p and q moves during time.
The same function?
The same function f. F is the function that defines the mixed model. And so if this is true, and since they are practically linearly related, you see that they move linearly, then you can make an argument that essentially during time you are running along one of these curves, and these curves depend on t prime in a way that at t star they lose the minimum, and the only minimum is in p equals zero. So my expectation is that if t prime is larger than, let me call t onset, this has been already has a name in structural glasses, if t prime is larger than t onset, the dynamics brings you to p equals zero. If t prime is smaller than t onset, the dynamics goes below the threshold energy and gets stuck here because it's a zero temporal dynamics. So I expect to be a phase transition in t prime.
Another question by Patrick back there.
So since you just brought up structural glasses, if you look at the 1RSB treatment of, let's say, hard sphere in a thin dimension, do you expect to be in a pathological p-spin model or in an interesting p-spin model?
No, I think it will be like the mixed p-spin model. For example, easy p-spin is like this one. So in easy p-spin, we studied with Andrea 10 years ago, and you can go below the threshold easily. So it was only in the pure p-spin model that whatever you do, you always get stuck at the threshold. And so you say, this threshold is really a fantastic place. Everybody, in every thing you do, you go there. But when you move to the mix of the easing, it's not true. So I think that we have to learn how to treat these more generic cases.
Okay, with that, thanks Federico again.